The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. March is all about Easter and Passover at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their hippity-hoppity Easter gift pack, featuring soaps shaped like Easter basket goodies, pastel-colored candy eggs, and even a chocolate bunny. The best Easter basket ever because it's non-fattening and vegan. Only $15 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Crichton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looks like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
This guy helping to direct traffic says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wars off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
People will do anything for a pot of gold.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Everybody see a leprechaun say yeah.
All right.
I hate local news. Oh my God, local news.
I love the identifier on the one guy. This guy says he's seen the leprechaun and he's going to use his flute.
Oh, not even then they all talk like that. They all have that sing-song voice.
Oh, and I wish
Brian
Johnson,
K News.
I wish you could see the amateur sketch over the podcast. That's so, always, always my favorite thing about that story. The amateur sketch of the leprechaun.
And then, of course, you have to have the anchors afterward finding something to say. some little nugget of idiocy to spew out of their stupid meat puppet mouths.
It is Thursday, March 17, St. Patrick's Day, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group of Attorney Charles J. Bowen. Get free legal advice at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez, or just click the link on the podcast page. Speaking of the podcast page, Jesus, we got, I don't know where it came from or what happened, but suddenly this here podcast jumped from being in the top 100 in news and politics on iTunes to the top 15 on iTunes News and Politics. Yes. I have no idea why. Do you have any idea why? I don't.
You're talking to me.
I
used my wizarding powers.
Consequently, what happened is, and this is always the challenge when something gets really, really popular online. It completely shut down the BobSeska.com website on a little bit on Monday, but definitely on Tuesday. So when I was trying to post Tuesday's show, while Super Tuesday Part 2 was occurring, I just couldn't get through. I couldn't even get through to post the show, and it was driving me insane. Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's like a good thing. It's like a good outage. It's for good reasons. We weren't being attacked. It was just suddenly we got all of this traffic, 40,000 people downloading the show all at the same time while I'm trying to upload.
Who the hell mentioned us?
I have no idea. I have no idea where it came from.
Did I miss the Josh Earnest press conference?
I think it had something to do with iTunes. I think it's specifically iTunes. I just think people are subscribing to the show on iTunes. As a result, this is the first time this has ever happened, too. We were not only in the top 15 and still are in iTunes News and Politics, but we're actually now in the top 100 overall of all iTunes podcasts. So that's phenomenal news. That has never, ever happened once to this show. We have never made...
You know what happened? Bernie had a rally where he said, and also, I want to say, those Bob and Chez guys.
Bob and Chez ought to be called millionaires and billionaires, not Bob and Chez.
We're going to break up Bob and Chez. We're going to break them up.
It is the Bubble Genius Millionaires and Billionaires show. Oh, man. I'm millionaires, right? Sitting right over there is billionaires.
Certainly not billionaires. I'm like hundredaires of that.
So, really, sincerely, thank you to everybody who made us so popular on iTunes.
Now, if all of you gave just $1,
yes,
for the cost of like a quarter of a cup of Starbucks coffee each day.
And that's absolutely right. I mean, you can sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez for $1 a month, supporting the show, supporting this year's podcast for just $1 a month. That's 12.5 cents. Per episode of the show. And I think everyone listening to the sound of our voices right now surely can tell that we're at least worth 12.5 cents. I mean, you know.
That's about it.
That's about it.
It ends right there.
I think if it goes 13 cents, that's too much to pay. 12.5 cents, on the other hand, that's just about the right price for this this podcast.
But if every one of you did it, then we would have shows 5 days a week.
By the way, you know,
and probably, Bob would post pictures with his shirt off.
Now, yeah, exactly. Once we get to $10,000, I guess I have to do that, and then that's also the point when we add video. I think I'm not fully committed to that idea yet. We're still inching our way toward $7,500 a month on Patreon. If we get to that point, we're adding a few more shows per week. So we're doing the show every day of the week, every weekday at least. And then beyond that, we're going to reset the goal. We're probably going to bump up to about $10,000 and add new premiums and things like that. So if you can donate just $1 a month to the show, that makes a big deal. If everyone listening to the show, especially now that we're the most popular show on iTunes, if everyone who's listening can just donate that amount of money per month, we'd far exceed our goal by a factor of 1,000, something ridiculous like that. But maybe now with all of our newly found listeners, probably not a good idea or a good time to make a correction from last week's show. I erroneously, and this is because I'm a math stupid.
You know this is going to be the thing that, like, this is why everybody tuned in.
Exactly.
When they hear this, they're going to be,
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
the one thing I cared about.
Yeah, there was this show, and it's supposed to be so great, and they spend the first 8 minutes of the show talking about how great they are, and then they talk about a correction they made because they effed up something having to do with numbers on their Tuesday show. But that's the case. I said that that Donald Trump was receiving $1.8 million in free media from cable news and elsewhere. It's actually $1.8 billion.
Wow.
In free media.
Jesus.
That's my correction.
It's funny because I didn't actually see that story because, like everyone else out there, I trust you, Bob.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. Well, that's astonishing. Well, it's just a revolting number.
It's always confusing to me when I see this. When I see a graph and it says in fine print, it says in millions, and then I see Donald Trump's free media as 1,898. So I go, is that 1.8 million or is that 1,000 million, which is 1 billion? And I got really, really confused and I screwed that up. So it is. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that that number is even more staggering than what we reported on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've got no problem with all of that free media as long as they're being critical about it and not just playing it and letting everyone else decide.
Yeah,
it,
did you hear Nate Silver's comments on Twitter that started catching a lot of crap from the media? Because of course everybody knows I worked in media for a long time. I worked in news, and nothing pisses off the news media like insulting them, especially when the insult is from someone smart. They get very defensive.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nate Silver made a comment on Twitter where, as he called it, he's like, I have my facts behind this. This isn't just some, I think he called it like a drive-by criticism. Mm-hmm. He says, but what Donald Trump has just threatened with saying that there will be, and make no mistake, saying that warning people that he believes that his people will riot if he doesn't get the nomination, that's a threat. It's a veiled threat.
It's absolutely
a threat. But making this threat against the political system, saying, if I don't get what I want, and if my followers don't get what they want, they will riot in the streets.
Yes.
Nate Silver said, he's like, the media should be not just reporting that as another crazy thing that Donald Trump says, but hammering him for that, because that goes above and beyond a lot of even the most heinous crap that he said.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you know, obviously there were a few people who responded to him from news outlets, and he just knocked them flat. He's like, do you realize what a big deal this is that he said that?
Yes, and they're all treating it as if it's politics as usual.
That's what I mean, and that's what you were getting at, which is all they're doing is they're letting him either filibuster on their air, or they're just giving him coverage. Well, Donald said this crazy thing today, or at the most, you know, guys like Jake Tapper, who I love, are cornering him a little bit and saying, don't you think that's this?
Right.
Jake Tapper needs to try to remain objective. So he has to say, you know, don't you think? But you're asking somebody who is impervious to decency, humanity, logic, reason, any of it, a question that he will automatically weasel his way out of. And so if the press is going to cover him, if the political press is going to cover him, they need to, quite frankly, they need to be beating him up. The time for objectivity is over. Objectively, you have to look at this man and say he is fucking wrong.
Yeah, and this isn't the normal argle bargle of Democratic Republican politics here. This is something that goes way, way beyond the realm of what we're accustomed to seeing, both in politics and in the news, where this guy is inciting violence and he's doing illegal, like known illegal things, like easily definable illegal activities. And part of that is fomenting these riots and fomenting violence. Here's Donald Trump talking to Andrew Cuomo on CNN, in which he actually goes ahead. Cuomo on CNN, and actually ends up talking about riots if there actually is a brokered convention.
Heading into a convention, if you get to 1-2-3-7, or if you don't, and you're close, you're going to be going to a convention. What is your plan to bring people together there and get many, as you know, who don't want you to get this nomination to change their minds?
Now, watch how he first qualifies all of this by saying that, oh, everybody's going to come together. It's going to be a big, beautiful party. Everybody's going to get along. Everyone's going to hold hands and give each other deep-throated tongue kisses. And then he goes into the whole riot thing.
Because I think there's a natural healing process. Once the battle is over, once the war is over, I think there really is a natural healing process. And I've gotten along with people all my life. This is actually a little bit unusual. I've gotten along very well with people, and I think it'll happen again. And I believe it will. Now, if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'll go along the same path, which has obviously been an effective path. I think we'll win before getting to the convention, but I can tell you, if we didn't, and if we're 20 votes short, or if we're, you know, 100 short, and we're at 1,100 and somebody else is at 500 or 400, because we're way ahead of everybody, I don't think you can say that we don't get it automatically. I think you'd have riots. I think you'd have riots. You know, I'm representing a
Trump. There it is. That's all you need to know. Yeah. I think you'd have riots, which assures
that there will be riots.
Yeah, it's the go-ahead.
That's not even slightly coded language to his supporters.
Yep. He's basically signaling to all of them. All right, look, if I'm coming up 20 delegates short at the convention, you can go ahead and start rioting. Which is going to be great television to a certain extent, but it's going to be horrendous overall. Because then it becomes a feature of our politics. Yeah. It's like, as soon as some politician doesn't get their way, well, just go ahead and riot. until everyone changes their minds just to keep the peace.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, I swear I am not trying to draw a comparison between the individuals, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, but there have already been petitions circulating around online saying that if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, that they're going to protest the convention. Now, granted, a protest is not a riot, but it is another example of if we don't get what we want, we're going to be very, very, very angry.
Yeah. Well, I see very little chance of that happening. I think
I'm hoping so.
Yeah. I mean, I think the odds of the Democratic Party coming together are very, very high. I mean, certainly there were as many hurt feelings 8 years ago as there are right now. And there are as many people.
Was I just on the good side of that?
I don't know. I mean, I was certainly on the Obama side of all of that, but I saw lots of YouTube video of pumas screaming about F Barack Obama, will never vote for Barack Obama. And of course, as soon as Hillary Clinton stepped onto a rally stage with Barack Obama and the reconciliation began, it started to die down. Now, certainly there were progressive protests at the convention. They were minor. Of course, they were restricted to the free speech zones,
yeah.
Which are just god awful. The idea that we have to set up little tented areas for free speech outside a convention. That's a post 9/11 development. And that's probably going to happen again this year, but it's not going to be anything significant. But what we are seeing now are Trump people portending what they're going to be doing at the convention, which is that, you know, they're not going to take no for an answer.
Yeah, and that was a threat. It was a threat. You're going to, this is what's going to happen if you don't do what we want you to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not nominated, if you try to find a way around me, there will be riots.
Well, the big difference is that Bernie Sanders is likely going to campaign with Hillary Clinton. Once she becomes the presumptive nominee basically after the primaries are over, I think Bernie Sanders will step onto the stage with Hillary Clinton and the reconciliation will begin. What you won't see is the same sort of thing happening on the Republican side.
No, absolutely not.
Because at least the way it stands right now is that the party is going to make sure they've got at least two aces in the hole going into the convention. Because even if Trump surpasses the delegate count that he's supposed to get, they want to have Kasich and they want to have Ted Cruz waiting in the wings. I mean, I know John Boehner wants Paul Ryan to step in and be the nominee. Paul Ryan, I think to a certain degree, Mitt Romney wants to be the nominee. So I think you're going to have a very serious and very contentious
figures there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think the most likely scenario, though, is that Trump just becomes the nominee. I think that's the most likely thing to happen. I know there is a lot of drama to be culled out of the idea of a brokered convention, but therefore, I think the press is talking about it a lot. We're certainly talking about it a lot because that would be phenomenal for the Democrats for that to occur. But, I mean, the chances are is this is going to be the same kind of thing as usual. Like Trump's going to get the required number of delegates, and he's going to go into the convention, and he's going to be the nominee. They're going to bite the bullet, but I think the option of running Trump in the general election and losing is much better to them than fracturing the party and essentially killing it, relegating it to third-party status. With some other party to emerge, maybe a new Republican Party to emerge in its ashes. I mean, that's the other option. So given the choice between nominee Trump and destroy the party, I tend to think they're going to go with nominee Trump, even though the end result might be the destruction of the party, but not it won't be immediate. And it won't be directly linked to the party convention or anything like that. It'll just be, well, Trump was a terrible candidate. I mean, what can we do about that?
For you know what we need to do? We need to go further to the right.
That's exactly right. And they'll do that. They'll absolutely do that.
Can we resurrect Hitler? Is there some way we can bring him back?
On that note, let's talk about some shaving razors here. I swear to God, Harry's are the best thing ever. Harry's razors. I'm so happy that they've decided to climb aboard this here show and basically making me one of their most loyal customers. When I first visited Harry's.com, to start my Harry's shaving experience, I noted right away how easy it is to pick up the Harry's starter set. All you need to do is the simple and easy step-by-step instructions. All you need to do is go to harrys.com, click the big button in the middle of your screen that says Try Harry's. It's that easy. That'll take you a page for the starter set. It's actually known as the Truman Set. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, 3 razor blades. Plus, you can choose your handle color between Total Orange, Nautilus Blue, or Olive 107. That was the radio station I worked at back in the 80s, by the way. Olive 107! I'm just kidding. Click Add to Cart and you're all set. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades in their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. I've been shaving with Harry's for weeks now. No razor burn. Just a smooth, close shave every single time. It feels great. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and your armpits if you choose to shave those. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC for $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okie dokie. Thanks for joining us on our Thursday show. Okay, just to recap, Super Tuesday Part 2, Electric Boogaloo. As you probably know by now, Hillary and Trump won big. Marco Rubio dropped out of the Republican race.
And out of politics altogether.
Yes, we're going to get to that in just a second. Oh my God, that was the big news of the day, Marco Rubio. Meanwhile, according to NBC News, Bernie Sanders needs to win 65% of the remaining pledged delegates in order to catch up with Hillary Clinton. Here's the current breakdown with the superdelegates. Now, this is with the superdelegates. I'm going to get to the breakdown on the Democratic side without the superdelegates in just a second. With the supers, Clinton has 1,606 delegates to Sanders, 851. Now, if we look to 538.com, look at the delegate count without the supers, Clinton's at 1,151 pledged delegates, and she's exceeding the current targets for where she should be. Which is great, and then great for her at least. And Bernie Sanders has 828 pledged delegates, and he's at 86% of his target, so he's lagging behind his overall target. So that's where we are on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, it's a little tighter. In fact, it's kind of amazing. John Kasich won Ohio, so he's now a big player. He's got 145 delegates. In second place is Ted Cruz with 422 delegates. And, of course, the front runner is Donald Trump with 691 delegates. And like I said before, I bet they're wishing beyond all hope that they had superdelegates at this point. If they had superdelegates on this side, Donald Trump, I don't think, would even be running. He'd be in big trouble at this point because all the superdelegates would climb aboard. Cruz, Kasich, all the superdelegates who would have been with Rubio have switched over to Cruz or Kasich. And very few, I think, would side with Donald Trump.
You know, there's this website that for some reason I feel the need to mention this, and I know that we have gone over this. I don't know how many times, but there's this. It's a Facebook page where they do nothing but put up memes, pro Bernie memes.
Yeah,
and it's tragically a repository for just really stupid thinking. People who don't understand how the system works. You know, one of the big memes that's circulating, and you'll find it now on pro-Bernie pages and with pro-Bernie people, is it's a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. And it's got the sort of font from Full House.
Yeah.
And it says, Bernie Sanders is going to take California and it's 554 delegates. Now, that's a full house.
And California's not a winner-take-all state, is it?
California is not a winner-take-all state. They get this is the issue that that Bernie people don't not all, but some of these some of the really rabid Bernie acolytes do not seem, the young ones especially who just love Bernie and don't know anything at all about fucking politics. It's all right. Proportional. Yep. It is proportional. The problem that Bernie Sanders faces right now is that going forward, like you said, he can't just win states. He has to win by a substantial margin because while he's going to be getting delegates from these wins, Clinton is also going to be getting delegates.
Yeah, yeah.
She's going to be walking away with some too. He's not taking all of them. And the problem is, as his delegate count goes up, hers does as well. Yep. And she has a hell of a lot more pad to work with than he does.
Yep. And it's not, there aren't any more winner take all states left in the schedule. I mean, they're all going to be split from now on. And in that split, Bernie Sanders has to get, well, he has to get 65% of all those remaining delegates, which seems highly unlikely, although there always is.
He has to win by a substantial margin.
Yeah, yeah.
He has to beat her. I think I saw somewhere he has to beat her by 10 percentage points in almost every state.
And the polling, at least at this point, and we know that the polling is not the most reliable thing in the world, but it's as close that we have to some sort of forecast, and that doesn't come anywhere close to showing Bernie Sanders with a 65% advantage anywhere.
Anything can happen, especially, you said, especially involving polling. But, yeah. I mean, you got to think, there's a lot of people who are counting on New York. And, you could certainly make the argument that New York is a place where Bernie Sanders would hit big. It's a pretty liberal place.
Yep.
But that is Hillary Clinton's home state, essentially.
Yep.
Her current home state.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She's forecast to do very well there. She's also forecast to do very well in California. And I mean, if those two states, if she either wins or it's kind of even, Sanders is done. That's it. I mean, it's inarguably it's over.
Well, the thing that ought to concern Hillary Clinton supporters is, and really it's the Hillary Clinton supporters that could actually make this closer than it needs to be, which is that knowing that Hillary Clinton is really kind of got an insurmountable lead at this point, that Hillary Clinton people will stay home.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. They need to be pushing really hard right now.
Yeah.
I mean, to say, look, this is not over. She needs to turn her footing to, I mean, I'm sorry. I agree with this because I think that for the good of the country and the good of the party, I think Hillary Clinton right now has no choice but to turn her attention to Trump. She has to some extent. She has to pivot to a sort of general election footing.
Yes.
But she does still have a battle to fight.
And I think as far as that goes, again, I can't help but to repeat, because I think it's really, really important. I think she needs to be ready for the reality show tactics. I think she needs to be prepared. I think she needs to consult with reality show producers. Certainly not make it her entire strategy for the general election, but I think she just needs to be ready, because it's going to be really hard. I mean, as the other Republican candidates can attest to, it's not easy fighting back against Donald Trump, because no matter what you do, you're basically just playing right into his game. And that's going to continue. He's surely going to use that against Hillary Clinton. That's a fact. But meanwhile, this story came out in the New York Times today. Obama privately tells donors that time is coming to unite behind Hillary Clinton. Now, he's not saying it's time now to unite behind Hillary Clinton. That's an important distinction. He was basically saying behind closed doors to Democratic leadership that it's going to be time soon to unite. And that's a fact. I mean, at some point, even if the nominee was Bernie Sanders, it would be mandatory that the party unites behind the nominee.
Right.
And that's what this is all about. And I think that to a certain extent is, insofar as this is true, because there's no direct quote, this is sort of unnamed sources, blah, 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 that the president is kind of reading the tea leaves and knowing what the numbers are. And wouldn't it be enjoyable, especially after all the turmoil and chaos throughout this entire primary season, to be able to just sit back for once, pop open an adult beverage, and watch the Republicans disintegrate? I mean, that's what I'm really, really looking forward to. Not having to worry about the Democratic side and just being able to sit back and enjoy as Trump and the Republican Party establishment tears the whole goddamn thing down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is something that I think is important. I think that voters, when it comes to being a Democrat, I think that voters need to not be very selfish about this, no matter who it is that you're voting for.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think the most important thing is right now, in terms of what's good for the country, the Democrats need to pull together.
Yep. And I'm so exhausted.
No drama.
Exactly right. And I am so exhausted with the drama. And that's why I just want it to be over. And I would love to be able to just, again, kick my heels up on my desk, sit back and watch as the Republicans disintegrate. They're committing suicide right now. They created Trump, and Trump is the cancer that is destroying this party, the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
And so it's just a matter of just watching as they do it. Just watch them. Can we all just do it? Can we all just chill out and watch the Republicans completely F themselves? That would be fun. Okay, we're going to take another break, and we will come back. We're going to talk about, good Lord, what's happening to Marco Rubio right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay. Attention all shoppers. If you're going to Amazon.com and you want to go shopping, go through the BobSeska.com Amazon link. It's a big, shiny, fat link. It's just below the logo at BobSeska.com. You can't miss it. Go shopping at Amazon.com through that link. Takes you right to the front page. Now, here's the thing. We're lagging way behind the curve for our March earnings on Amazon.com. So, please, if you're going to go shopping this month, go shopping through that link. Beef up our commissions from Amazon.com, and we thank you for that in advance. Okay, so moving along here to Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio obviously needing more cash to resolve his dry mouth, his hydration issue. So he's not going to run for re-election in the Senate. He's not only dropped out of the presidential campaign, but now he's not going to run for re-election in November for U.S. Senate. This is kind of amazing, although when you really stop and think what's going on here, it's not all that shocking. And I'll tell you why. So first of all, here's what Marco Rubio said today. He said, I'm not going to be anybody's vice president. I'm not interested in being vice president. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I'm not going to be vice president. I'm not running for governor of Florida. I'm going to finish out my term in the Senate, and over the next 10 months, we're going to work really hard here. We have some things we want to achieve, and then I'll be a private citizen. All right, so that's it. Marco Rubio's done, which means there's going to be
a new contributor at Fox News.
New contributor at Fox News. And that's actually a really good point, because what we were talking about before the show is the new Republican business model, which is that you run for president to burnish your resume, to get better deal points with either a Fox News channel or some lobbyist organization, some board of directors somewhere. And that's the entire point of running for president.
Yeah, it's why the whole thing is a scam.
The whole thing's a scam. It's all a means of putting a really juicy resume item on there in order to beef up your Q score, in order to give your agent something to ballyhoo about to Fox News Business Affairs to get you a better contract. I mean, we know that's why guys like Mike Huckabee ran to basically cash in. I'm sure. I'm positive that what Marco Rubio is doing is not necessarily, I mean, he's not resigning, so he's not leaving midway through his term or anything like that, like Sarah Palin did, but he's doing something similar to Sarah Palin. He's got the cachet now, he's got the reputation, he's got the name recognition, that he's just going to parlay that into some big, fat contract coming out of next January after he leaves office. And you watch, he'll be on some board of directors somewhere, he'll be working as a lobbyist somewhere, he's going to be earning big time money. He may even have his own goddamn show on Fox News Channel.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You just watch. That's why he's leaving the Senate. It's either that, it's got to be that, or it's got to be some sort of scandal.
Yeah.
That's
no, just he's going right to K Street.
Exactly. He's going right to K Street.
Yep. K Street or Fox News, take your pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's no confirmation of any of this, but it should be obvious to any observer that the whole idea of running for president on the Republican side is to do exactly that.
You know, I think it was it Vox that published something yesterday?
Yeah.
And they cited that article. Ezra Klein wrote it, and he cited that article that was written. I can't remember when the hell it was written, that basically looked at both the Democratic and the Republican parties and said, look, they are completely different. The Republican Party is now a rogue entity.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the point of the Vox piece, and I'm probably going to sort of repackage it and do something along those lines, only with a lot more profanity, as usual, that basically the argument in the Vox thing was the Republican and the Democratic Party are not alike.
No.
Anybody who says they are, that's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. The Republican Party basically now is a scam.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a scam.
Yeah, it's a money-making scam.
And it's infuriating because I always have to stress this, and I always have to, you know, put my hand up and say this, but when I was growing up, the Republican Party was nothing like this. Well, it wasn't nothing like this, but it wasn't this.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
That's right.
It offered up the same, you know, even if you disagreed with this politics, it offered up sane people. It injected, for lack of a better term, politicians into the mainstream. You know, it was just the people that ran as Republicans. Maybe they believed something different from the people who ran as Democrats, but they were sane individuals. They were reasonable individuals. They were interested in compromise. They were interested in doing what was necessary to make the country run and to get as much as they could out of it for their constituents, for the people who were conservative. That is not the way it is now at all.
Certainly not. And it's because you know, people like Karl Rove, people like Lee Atwater, people like Dick Cheney come along, and they and especially Roger Ailes, and they turn the Republican Party not into a party that's interested in compromising with the Democrats in order to get things done so that when you go home to your district, you can say, look at what I did. Look at this bipartisan agreement that I came up with the Democrats, and we got everything that we wanted. They got everything that they wanted, or that we compromised somewhere in between, and that we passed legislation for you here in my home district. I'm working for you and getting things done. That used to be the way the Republican Party used to work. That's the way the Democratic Party still works, because God bless Barack Obama for coming up with Merrick Garland, someone who I think is a compromise, or as close to compromise as he'll get.
Yeah, I'm already seeing. I love the people on the far left who are like bitching up a storm. There was an article in Slate about, you know, this isn't a good pick because I don't fucking know. It's not like a transgender person of color or something like that. It really was. The argument was identity politics. It's like
you don't get
why he nominated this particular person. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
He offered up somebody that they shouldn't be able to refuse.
That's right. But now the Republican Party has changed into something else. The Republican Party is now basically preoccupied with going home to your home district and not saying, look at all this stuff that I got done on Capitol Hill, even despite all of the partisanship and the bickering and the fat cats and all of the other political cliches. You know what I did when I was in Washington? I stuck it to Barack Obama and I didn't let him pass anything. I mean, I didn't pass anything myself either, but I didn't let him pass anything, that's for sure. And that's something that people now, you know, constituencies applaud on the Republican side. This is what everyone wants.
But where did that come from? And you know where that came from? I tend to see everything through the media prism, but I believe it's 100% true here. That is the result of the right-wing media machine.
That's exactly right.
That is the result of Fox News and right-wing talk radio feeding these people utter crap.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, the rest of the news media, which is so preoccupied with not being accused of having a liberal bias, that they allow things like Trump to just happen as politics is as usual. And that's why we have Trump too.
They should have been ripping Trump to shreds since the very beginning.
Yeah.
But they won't, because Trump is great for ratings.
I mean, again,
and you know, the funny thing is, if you work in like cable news or something, if you're somebody who gets up Trump's ass, that actually would be great for ratings. If you're somebody who sat down with Trump and said, look, this is irresponsible. The stuff that you're saying is garbage.
Yeah, that would be huge. I mean, it would be tremendous if someone actually did that.
Yeah, I mean, well, Megyn Kelly, to her credit, kind of did that. And, you know, and she, yeah, she got into a giant spat with Trump, but she also happens to work for a network that caused this crap.
Yeah, and that's where it's got to come from, too. I mean, the opening shots from the traditional press have to come from Fox News Channel. It's a Nixon to China kind of thing. In order for it to have validity, Fox News has got to say, this is bad for America. This is hurting America. I mean, coming from someone like, let's say, Jon Stewart is not going to work. It's not going to certainly not going to come from Lawrence O'Donnell or Chris Hayes or my friend Joy Reid. It's got to come from someone like Bill O'Reilly. It's got to come from someone.
I don't know if that would work anymore.
I don't know.
I think that they have created this. They fomented this rage that's so strong that, I mean, Donald Trump is proof of it. He's beyond the control of even Fox News.
Yeah.
And he's the monster that got away from them. And I think what you're seeing now is even when they call him out or when they try to, what happens is their own people, the crazy mob that they've been feeding all this time, they turn on them. They say, what's the matter with you? You're not conservative enough.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. But, I mean, you know, we don't have anyone like Cronkite anymore. You know, Cronkite famously delivered that monologue about Vietnam, basically saying that it's an unwinnable war. And what we need is someone like that, a media gatekeeper who everyone kind of respects, who is a universally beloved character, to say, you know what, this is terrible. This is not the way it should be. But I don't even know if that's even possible anymore with social media and the emergence of the internet, with the democratization of journalism, because things are so splintered that people have formed their own epistemic bubbles so that none of it gets through. You can just choose to block or mute or whoever you want, or shout down or troll people you disagree with. And so therefore, nothing has any effect on the people that it needs to have an effect on.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of screwed in that respect. So you hope that maybe over time it'll reach critical mass, just enough people individually saying something like that. It's not going to be one person that's going to stand up and go, you know what, this is awful and it's not American. This guy needs to sit down and shut up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. The only thing that'll make that happen is if he loses horrendously in November. Mr. We don't win anymore. I want to see him lose 49 states.
That would be awesome. I mean, that would be incredible.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it has to happen.
Yeah.
It has to. This movement on the right needs to be just utterly crushed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there was a new poll, I think, today saying something to the effect that at least, I want to say, 15, it was either 15 or 30% of Republicans said that they would, that they would go over and vote for Hillary Clinton in the general election if Trump was the nominee. I'm going to have to double check on that because it's a significant number of Republicans. I'm not entirely sure what the exact number was, but that could portend something big as far as the overall electoral vote count goes. Because I think, you know, again, I have no numbers to back myself up on this, but, you know, if it keeps going the way it's going and the Republicans really splinter, or even if they don't, they make Trump the nominee and it's just a little bit chaotic. I mean, we could be looking at another 1964. And I really believe that. I think Hillary Clinton's going to pivot a little bit more to the center because strategically she's going to want to give moderates someone to vote for.
Right.
And they're certainly not going to have it. And you know, I think she's smart enough to know that the moderates are the ones that swing these elections. They're the ones that swing the purple states. They're the ones that overall swing the entire election result in modern politics. So because, of course, the extremes are so polarized. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's going to be very, very interesting. And I just hope that the Democrats resolve their issues so we can actually savor this crap. All right, we're going to take one last break. Come back with, oh my God, Alex Jones and Space Aliens right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Well, I found one number here that shows 39% of Republicans would vote for a third party over Hillary or Trump.
Yes. I did see a series, like a state-by-state breakdown. I think it was on CNN.
Yep.
A survey of Republicans saying how many of you would be satisfied with a Trump versus Hillary Clinton matchup and how many of you would seek a third party.
Did you see that? I believe it was in Missouri that a bunch of, I think it was three or five Trump delegates lost because Trump voters didn't like their foreign sounding names.
Wow.
Like, they refused to vote for those delegates, because on some ballots, you don't vote for the candidate, you vote for that candidate's delegates. Some of those delegates had foreign appearing names.
Wow.
And those Trump supporters didn't vote for Trump delegates because they looked foreign.
That is just beautiful.
It's amazing to me. Absolutely
amazing. That's the best irony ever.
Talk about self-defeating. Jesus Christ. All right, so
we all know it. One more thing, we all know what this is. This is the desperate. Yeah, we talked about this on Tuesday. This is Make America White Again.
Yep.
This is a desperate response from very white people to get their country back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to course correct.
Yep.
Everything that they're seeing around them. You know, 8 years of a black president. People saying that they can't say anymore. Mm-hmm. People saying that they can't, you know, that they can't mistreat gays anymore. That kind of thing. That's what this is. Because, yeah. I mean, when you think about it, the idea of a President Trump would be such a giant boot on the throat of progress.
Yep.
Of the kind of progress that they despise. I mean, with someone like Trump in the highest position in the land, no matter what else happened, they would have that. They would say, here is this guy who is just like us, this white supremacist.
And, you know, by the way, I mentioned, I think it was last week, and forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but I think, you know, my conservative friend, it's like saying I've got this black friend. Got this conservative friend, Tom Nichols from the Naval War College, and also five-time Jeopardy champion, right? And he was tweeting the other day about how he'll vote for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump, because while Hillary Clinton is evil, according to Tom Nichols, she's competent. Donald Trump is a disaster across the board. He's evil and incompetent.
Yeah, exactly.
So this will be really fascinating.
Yeah, that's how I feel, because there are a lot of articles coming out now about Kasich saying that, you know, don't forget, Kasich's just as bad. But he's not. Because he's competent.
He is.
I don't agree with 95% of what comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
But he is a competent politician.
Yeah.
A competent leader.
Right. And I wrote something about that for Banter M, the Banter magazine, today, which is on newsstands now. And I kind of detailed some of the things, some of his more heinous positions on.
Oh, absolutely, his positions are awful.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's a paleoconservative.
And also, I started out the piece by noting how Brian Williams must really, really hate John Kasich and want nobody to vote for him, at least on the Republican side, because he keeps saying on the MSNBC election night coverage that John Kasich is every Democrat's favorite Republican. I mean, talk about sabotaging John Kasich. The worst thing you want to do is to say, hey, Democrats love John Kasich. Republicans? Guess what, GOP voters? He's the favorite among Democrats. Now vote for him. Because everyone who votes in Republican primaries are usually the conservative base. Those people. which is why you see the Republicans acting like utter demons, or more so during the primary than they do during the general election. Because they're appealing to the crazy people who will never vote for a candidate when they're hearing from, you know, well, maybe they'll consider Brian Williams to be lying or something. I don't know.
Right.
Who knows? So there's that. But, I mean, if they hear that, then they're going to go, well, screw that. I'm not voting for John Kasich. If the Democrats love him, I'm going to hate him. Because everything about the Republicans now is opposite. No, it has nothing to do with having a policy agenda anymore. It has everything to do with just opposing the Democrats' policy agenda. And that's not a good way to proceed. Certainly not. Okay, so meanwhile, Alex Jones went into some incoherent rant today. It's been going all over Facebook. It's going wild right now, this clip of Alex Jones just going absolutely bananas. He's concerned about the space aliens coming down and meddling with our elections. I mean, this is Alex Jones in full nervous breakdown mode.
Let me say it this way to the last caller. Everyone's having their water poisoned. Everyone's having deadly vaccines pushed on them. Everyone is having weaponized television aimed at them. I don't care if you're black, white, what color you are, if you're a cop, a auto plant worker, or a farmer. You are under attack, and the illusion is you can join different parts of this system and be a winner.
See, now this is what Alex Jones loves to do. He loves to give off the impression that he and all of his listeners are cornered on all sides.
Yeah.
That they're just entirely boxed in by this massive conspiracy that involves literally everybody. Yes. And now also includes shape-shifting lizard people from outer space.
Wow.
And we're just started now into, I mean, tornado season's right around the corner. So you never know when there's going to be more weather weapons. Obama steering, you know, making those tornadoes go around with tiny airplanes and helicopters.
And things.
Other things.
I like it when he gets specific.
All those things, moving those things around, doing that thing where you got the...
I got proof.
Weaponized television.
Documents right here.
I got all the documents right here. I mean, if you look at them, I got all these printouts from Infowars.com. Like, I was just going to ruffle them right into the microphone to show that I got the documents. I mean, the document proving everything I have to say. Whatever. Yeah. For God's sake. Now Obama can not only move tornadoes around with little helicopters, little tiny airplanes, but now he can also weaponize television somehow.
Yeah.
We now have weaponized television. So make sure when you're watching TV tonight, make sure to wear your Kevlar. Jesus Christ.
It is a metric, scientific, mathematical algorithm of tyranny that is extremely sophisticated.
What the is that?
It is the Nate Silver of tyranny. It is the mathematical equation. It is the common core math problem of tyranny.
We need t-shirts that say that.
Jesus Christ.
What in the hell is his problem? What drugs is that man on?
If you're just dialing into the political discourse in the United States just now for the first time, Alex Jones is a radio conspiracy theorist and carnival barker who's making a fortune off of lying to his people and exploiting their paranoia and their schizophrenia. That's what he does. Like, every paranoid schizophrenic in the United States of America listens to Alex Jones. Why? Because he says everything that confirms their deepest, deepest fears and paranoia. That's what he does, and he earns a fortune by exploiting
the unbelievably stupid.
That's right.
Just the shockingly dumb.
Yes, absolutely.
Even predict
that's like a litmus test for human stupidity in this country. Anybody who says, oh, Alex Jones makes some sense there. No.
Right.
Seriously, go get an MRI. Go get your f***ing head checked.
Exactly.
Now, I told you that 18 years ago. That's been mainstream news for 2 years now. We know what we're talking about. We told you not having gut flora is the number one cause of cancer. Now the federal government comes out with all the top research facilities and says, yes, it's true.
What did he say? What causes cancer? I don't know. It sounded like
everything,
he said...
Everything causes cancer.
It sounded like he said hardwood floors cause cancer. I have no idea.
They've known all along. They're targeting the gut. It is a very small group. A few thousand people are in on the whole deal, okay? And so it doesn't help us if, let's say, all 2 million police in the country got shot in the back of the head.
I don't know. What the hell is he talking about?
It's like a coded message during a war that, you know, like Red Dawn, the chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. He's just rattling off nouns and verbs.
And let me tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen, about the globalist conspiracy. This Trivago guy is too goddamn handsome. It's like, what?
That's the weaponized TV he's talking about.
The Trivago guy has an AR-15, and he's got it pointed right at your head. Now, I'm not going to sit here and stand by and wait around and climb under my desk and do a somersault waiting for the Trivago guy to assassinate me in my sleep.
The next Trivago commercial, like, so, like, you put on the They Live glasses, and the Trivago guy's like, take your gun and go out and shoot a police officer in the back of the head.
Now, why have they weaponized the Trivago guy? I thought he looked like a handsome enough man. Scruffy beard, salt and pepper hair.
Doesn't know how to tuck his shirt in.
Little t-shirt. Tiny little t-shirt surrounded by little helicopters and airplanes. No, Barack Obama is moving the Trivago guy with little tiny airplanes. He's going to attack a small Oklahoma town so he can distract from Benghazi and selling all the weapons to ISIS in the Middle East. And then the shape-shifting lizard people from outer space, from Bechtel, IBM, Raytheon.
Everything you said making fun of him, that makes absolutely 100% as much sense as everything he's saying. It's not one bit different than anything he's saying.
It's the devil, okay?
The devil.
And the churches aren't going to tell you. It is an alien force, not of this world, attacking humanity like the Bible and every other ancient text says. And you can read the Bible. It's hiding in plain view, folks. It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? Mm. It's not human intelligence we're facing. I refuse to fight with everybody. All the stupid racist white people, the stupid racist black people, all the stupid racist Mexicans, all of you. I can't stand you. You're idiots. We're under attack. Everybody's under attack. The elite hate Trump. Let me tell you, if he is a psyop, he's the most sophisticated one I ever saw. And even if he is, he's a revelation of the awakening. And they're having to pull this trick to try to divert us. Doesn't matter. It's part of the awakening.
This is, you know what? When he starts going off like that, that is the greatest thing in the world to me.
It is. That is just brilliant.
I just love it. When he starts really screaming, and it's incoherent ranting. I mean, make no mistake. This guy, if he didn't have a microphone in front of him, would be standing on a street corner with tissue boxes on his feet, handing out leaflets, and screaming at invisible enemies.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, first of all, I think that he's a con artist.
Yeah.
But I agree with you 110% about that. And that's the thing. That's, we were talking earlier about the democratization of media. That's the problem with it.
Yeah.
Now, anybody can have a microphone in front of them and reach the entire world. Anybody can write tweets. Anybody can say whatever the hell they want, and they can garner an audience. And honestly, Alex Jones deserves to be pulling a King of Comedy, like sitting in his basement somewhere while his mother is up there yelling at him to turn it down, talking to like cardboard cutouts of, you know, of LBJ. You're the one, LBJ, you were the one who started all this.
Here comes the new King of Comedy, Alex Jones.
Lower it!
Ma, don't tell me to lower it.
I said lower it.
No, I'm not going to lower it. You lower it. I'm going to talk about the alien conspiracy and the origins of the devil here in the United States.
He's like, God. He's like, if Sam Kinison was a totally serious guy back in the 80s, he would have been Alex Jones. But Sam Kinison knew that this was such a horse. God. All right, coming up next is the postmortem show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. All you got to do to listen to the postmortem show is sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez at $5 a month, and you get the postmortem show. At $10 a month, you get the postmortem show, plus you get the after party. And if you sign up at $15 a month, you get the postmortem show, the after party, and a commercial-free, not safe for work, unbleeped version of this show that you've just heard. Again, that's at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And make sure to support us at amazon.com by clicking through the BobSiska.com Amazon link. Okay, postmortem show coming up next. We'll see you then. Bye.
You people are sick.